Joelle, you got a puppy. Let's see it.
Okay, hold on.
Please. I need wrinkles. I need pink belly.
Oh my God. You have a nice kitchen, Joelle.
Yeah.
Look at that cute little puppy. Look at that cute little puppy.
So adorable.
Oh my goodness.
Does that puppy got pit bull in it?
Of course.
She can't. It's a rescue.
Yeah. Well, mine's a Staffy, which is kind of like pit bull.
Yep.
She's a pit mix. She's cute.
So cute, Joelle. I'm so happy for you.
It's crazy how pit bull was so popular for so long. And then became like that breed of dog is such a, it was bred with so many things for so many other dogs, so much that every rescue, pretty much almost every rescue you find has a pit mix in it somewhere down the line. It's crazy. Like they'll be like, I don't know what it is. Probably has pit in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a ton of them.
Well, it's beautiful, Joelle. What's his or her name?
Her name is Lions.
Lions.
Which is the name the adoption company had, but it's also the name of my great grandmother. It's her maiden name. Oh. So yeah.
We kept our rescue name for our dog as well, because it was Billy and she just seemed like a Billy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's cute. She is a Billy.
That's really awesome. I thought you were saying Lions like Rebel
We'll take that too.
Mark the time. First Star Wars reference. Wow. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's a very funny episode. I laughed my ass off during this episode.
I laughed a lot too. I'm going to be honest with the fans, though. I'm glad you liked what Daniel and I did, but that can't be like all the time.
Why? That's just, it's all everyone's talking about. Why can't you bring it the heat again?
Because, come on, man. We got to keep, you give them a little taste, just a taste.
Bro, my whole Instagram feed is every comment is like, Donald's rap was fire. Daniel's beat was amazing. What's wrong with you, bro? We got to give the fans what they want. Is this just because you didn't take the time and write a good one?
I wrote something, but if it's whack, it's not going to make the show.
I know, but fucking Daniel's beat too. Daniel, you should release that track so other people can rap off of it. Do you feel like Kathy Kennedy in a sense that people have really, really loved something that you've made and now you have to follow it up and build on the hype?
That's a great analogy.
I thought you'd be happy about that analogy.
That is probably one of the best analogies ever. Now
is that what your nerves are about?
Now I'm putting the pressure.
Yeah.
Ooh, now I put the pressure on myself. I got to give the fans what they want, right?
Yes, exactly, bro. I got to give the
fans what they want, right?
Listen, I've never.
All right, let's get it going then.
We're waiting for William. Where is he?
Okay, I'll let him in.
Bill is here, everybody. Daniel, let him in. Thunderous applause.
Thunderous applause, Daniel. Turn your key.
Bill Lawrence. Welcome back.
Woo! It's Bill,
you're in a new environment, Bill, I see.
I'm in my daughter Charlotte's home, and she is rehearsing in the background for some gig of hers, but I'm sure she'll poke her head in and thank you, too. She told me you always play her songs, and she's very grateful.
We did. We just played. By the way, we can't stop playing the last one in this house. It's on all the time. We work out to it. We try and sing along to it. It's so good.
I'm going to answer the same way I answer when people say that your podcast is so good, even though I have nothing to do with it. I just go, thank you.
All right. Well, listen, Bill, you might not have heard the last episode, but Donald did a rap version of the summary of the show that was so amazing that it's all everyone's talking about. And Daniel made a really, really cool beat to it.
Really? Cool.
Daniel's putting beats to it.
Dude, 100. That shit was fire.
Yeah, it was really good, really good. So, much like a showrunner who has to make his second season really, really good after everyone loves the first, Donald now has to keep his second dope rap as good as the first. Are you ready, Donald?
Oh, man, that's high pressure. High pressure.
He gave me the Kathleen Kennedy jump off. Like, I got to, gosh.
I said, picture your Kathleen Kennedy trying to make another one. All right, here you go. Okay. Ready? All right, you got this. Hit it, Daniel.
Hey, yo. You know how this song goes, I can't do this on my own. Well, JD passes the mic and Elliot sets the tone. Keeping it real, she's more together than I thought. And Turk and JD are the cutest cause they bought two tape recorder. Carla maintains order and ends all games like it was the fourth quarter. Bridges get burnt, lessons get learned for what it's worth. JD can't command his interns if it's not for Papa Smurf. Dollar Bill's on the show, let's all dive in, yo, here we go. If you don't already, it's time to act like you know. I hope like Tony the Tiger, the show will be great. Yo, Bill, hit him with that.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Here's some stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's the stories that you all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
Mm-hmm.
That was incredible, Donald. You really raised the bar.
Buddy, when I wrote that rap, I never thought you would execute it that well. Nice.
I'm glad it made the show, Bill.
Hey, Bill, I'm glad you're here for this one. It's really funny. I really laughed a lot about this one.
I laughed a lot, too. You know, Sarah does a great job.
She does.
I know. If I had known earlier, I would have had a lot more leverage over Zach back then. Of just going like, hey, this can be Sarah's voiceover. Just like that, dude.
You did say shit like to me that all the time. You'd be like, you know, you can always have a new intern come in that door. he was such a dick to me.
I never said that to Donald. I never said that to you, right? I never said anything like that to you, did I, Donald?
No. There was that one time where you were like, Jaleel White? No.
That is not true.
I'm joking.
By the way, Sarah's, we should give her a shout out. Her show is number one on Netflix, Firefly Lane.
Yeah.
Everybody check out Fire. That's what it's called, right, Joelle?
Yes.
Firefly Lane? Everybody check out Sarah's show. It's really, really popular.
It's called Firefly and Bugs? Firefly and Bugs or something?
Something what's like Firefly Blaine to Blaine. And we all know Blaine? To Blaine.
means... Firefly Lane. The kids seem to love it.
I'm so happy for her, man. She's so great, good. Man.
Yeah, me too. And anyway, you're right, Donald. She did such a funny job with this voiceover. And I don't know. The episode just had me, some you laugh at more than others. By the way, Bill, what's the Common story? I know, was he dating the writer of this episode, Angela Nissel? Because why is Common? It wasn't famous yet, right?
No, Common's been famous for a while.
No, but
he wasn't huge yet. But he was very, he was very established though in hip hop and rap community. And yes, yeah. Angela is friends with him and had known him and said, "My friend Common can do this." But I forgot about it, and me being me, I didn't know who Common was back then. And occasionally, when I go back and see the show, I'm like, "Wait a second." It was very cool.
Yeah. It caught me off guard because we just had the Carey Brothers one and I was like, oh yeah, I remember Carey did the show. And then I'm like, is that Common? Like,
yeah. No doubt. And then immediately following that, they do Snoop and Dre's Still Dre, her and Molly, Elliot and Molly do Still Dre, which is, and Turk doesn't know. This pissed me off. I was
man, it hurt your heart when we shot that.
I was going to say, was it hard for you to act like you didn't understand the rap?
For the joke, it's really funny because in the African American community, malnourishment is that's hilarious and ho hos. That shit had me rolling. That was very funny. Yeah. But it hurt my heart to be like, how do I not know still hitting them corners and them lolos, girl? Like, you know what I mean? Like I know the history of the song. Like that song comes from like Jay-Z wrote the song, wrote everything for that, for Dr. Dre, even wrote Snoop's line. Still representing all across the world, still hitting them corners in the lolos, girl. Jay-Z wrote all of it, put it on tape, sent it to Dre, and they did the song. And when that came to me and it was my turn to spew my hip hop knowledge on Scrubs back then, it hurt my heart.
It was like when
JD went to Disneyland without Turk.
I know.
Roller coasters, that roller coaster in the dark.
You have, by the way, it's probably the one time you have a gleam in your eye as an actor that you're trying to tell the audience that this is not, you're literally like you're trying to signal, this is not me. I know what this means. This is for the sake of the show.
It's very funny, Donald. That was probably your best acting moment in 9 years that you had to act like you didn't know the interpretation of the song.
Thank you.
I love that moment, and I'll tell you guys something else that I love even before we get there. You guys knew that we used to steal stuff from your lives and put it in the show. Our good friend Matt Tarsus made the mistake of coming into work and saying that his wife, I think she was pregnant, kept getting mad at him because they have hardwood floors, and she would go to bed early because she was so tired. When he'd come in, he would squeak on the floors and wake her, so she started making him go to bed at the same time as her. And I was like, you have a bedtime? You're this old. You're an adult male, and your wife gave you a bedtime? And that became this episode, so it makes me so happy.
I feel that sequences, both of those sequences are laugh out loud funny. Donald, you are so funny in both times.
That I feel like
that's. By the way, also, are you up now? You up now? Front is good all that's time. It. Well, that's,
dude. I feel like this is my life, though. Turk and Carla, this is how my life is now. I listen, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't sleep in the same room as my wife anymore. Because I'm not a light sleeper. I mean, I'm not a heavy sleeper. I'm a very light sleeper, and so is she. But I toss and turn like crazy. I twitch, and so I wake up. And when I wake up, I have a hard time going back to sleep and stuff. My wife can sleep if there's no movement or sound in the room. So I am no longer allowed to sleep.
She kicked you out of the room.
I'm done. Yes, I'm done.
You have your own bedroom.
It's called Sofa City, baby.
Oh my God! It's like those.
I live in a. You go, Zach.
It's like those sitcom couples back in the 50s that had separate beds right next to each other.
I can't live. I can't be in the same room as her. Oh,
you're not
too loud.
You're
not too loud.
Not even the same.
Not even the same.
That stuff's coming your way, Zach. My wife.
Were you kicked out too?
A little, but no. My wife got me. She felt that my snoring kept her awake, and I'm not going to talk about whether or not she does anything in her sleep, because that would also be massive trouble for me. And so the way to fix it was I got this, you know, mouth guard that you put in around your teeth that kind of juts your bottom jaw out. So it's like sleeping with somebody else's hand in your mouth. It's great. just like somebody else just clutching your bottom jaw with their fingers and pulling your jaw.
I have that too. I sleep with that too. Does yours work for you?
You know what, Zach? Yeah, but then I'll every once in a while, you know, just go, I don't know if I want to wake up with an intense headache from jaw pain tomorrow. And I will occasionally sleep downstairs because of it. And my wife will be like, why did you come up here? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't want to wear that cast iron jaw trap that I have to wear to sleep in the same room as you.
I love in your version, like, you're like, I wasn't even fitted for it. I think Krista just... Somehow, when I was asleep, I woke up and it was there. She
just showed up.
Like sometimes I'll leave stuff in, like I'll accidentally leave something in the bedroom and I'll come up and get it. And if I make sound, she wakes up and she's like, "Motherfucker, you know better than this.
Oh my,
you know it.
You know what you." Yeah. So
I'm a hot house fly. I run very hot, you know, so I don't like the cold. Krista constantly goes, every book says you should sleep at 68 degrees. And I like to sleep with a temperature around 80 or 83 degrees. And so, like the other night, it was such a bad move, but she's like, I want you to sleep up here tonight. I'm like, okay. And she was already asleep, but it was 51 degrees outside and she left all the windows open in the bedroom. And so I knew I was supposed to sleep there, and I'm trying to get to, she's asleep, and I'm trying to close the windows like a millimeter every 5 seconds. So it would just be like, and she woke up with the last one. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's so cold. It's so cold.
I got scared of Krista as you told that story.
There's nothing like the wrath of your wife if she doesn't get the sleep she wants, man.
No, man, it's not worth it. If she doesn't get sleep, then you pay for it for like 2 days. It's not worth it.
Well, really isn't.
I'm sorry to be so simple as to find fart jokes so funny, but that when you come in and you fart, and then Judy's like, "Come on, Turk," and he's like, "Are you up?" And she's like, "Yeah."
That was respectful. I found that one respectful.
And then both times, she's still bitching at you, and you look over and you're sleeping. All right, let's
men
go.
Are so much I different love
the
than
fact
women.
That he was going to hold it. He was willing to hold it if she was like, "Well, no, actually, I'm going back to sleep right now."
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty. I'm almost asleep, babe. No, all right,
all right.
Let's go to the top of the show. I laughed right when Donald slides in on the counter with his tape recorder.
Very funny.
Yes,
that was a very funny slide in, sir.
Thank you very much. I love the fact that JD and Turk both got tape recorders so that they could communicate.
Yeah, where did that idea come from?
They could pre-tape conversations.
It's very
you know, we gotten to a point that if we could come up with anything that made you guys seem even remotely more codependent, we did it.
Well, if it says anything about Donald and I, I'm like, oh, that would have been so much fun. We should have really gotten to it.
I tried to match dialogue. Well, dude, you're the one that wants the freaking sample machine. Have you heard this, Bill?
No.
What do you mean wants? It's been ordered. What are you talking
right.
about? Wants.
So Fake Doctors, Real Friends is going to have a new segment soon, and it's Zach and his freaking, I guess you could call it a keyboard.
It's a sample pad.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Sure.
Bill, I'm just going to do what Fred does on the Howard Stern Show. I'm going to have some key sound effects that I'm going to be allowed to add. And Donald says as long as they don't abuse it, he's willing to give it a try.
Yeah, but you're going to abuse it immediately. It's pretty bad. Yeah.
No, yeah. What if I'm allowed like 4 sound effects a show?
It's not going to work. You're going to use them all in the first 5 minutes, and then you're going to be sulky the rest of the show, and the show's going to stink.
Well, before you poo-poo it, we're going to try it. I'm very excited.
By the way, you know, if you had it already, you would say, before you poo-poo it, we'd already be dealing with that.
I promise that I will not have fart noise as one of my sound effects. I am going to have a big bong pull for when Donald says something so random and stonery. You're going to hear a big bong pull.
I'll record that one myself.
That's going to be...
Yeah, Daniel's going to record the sample.
Perfect.
Yeah, I like that one.
We should do just like a bunch of different sounds when it comes to marijuana then, huh?
Yeah. If you wouldn't mind recording all of the Foley.
No, I have no problem helping out in that.
Okay. Let's talk about how I try having a parrot. And the parrot in the fantasy tells the patient he has liver disease.
Yeah. No, go, the parrot. Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I go, no, actually you have inoperable cancer. Don't listen to him. And then I go, if only, Chauncey. The parrot has been named Chauncey.
You also, by the way, I don't understand how the parrot misdiagnoses people all the time. I mean, it appears that you only taught it liver disease.
Yeah, it only knows liver disease. We had neighbors across the street who had a lot of animals, and one of them was a parrot. And because there were lots of kids, they were going, Mom, Mom. So I'm not lying to you. So don't get a parrot unless you want to hear, Mom.
Dude, you high-five Snoop Dogg intern immediately when you walk into the hospital.
Yeah. I'm feeling myself.
Yeah, you're feeling good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got a little pep in his step. What about when they come back from seeing Common? Sarah has, what is that? Is that dread Sarah has? Or what is that? Twists?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't know what you call those.
Twist might be appropriate. It was like, it was definitely a white girl dread of like, here's like a lot of hard gel in my hair. I wouldn't call them actual dreads.
They were twists. Is this the first frick on a stick from Sarah?
Well, it's definitely frick on a stick with a brick.
Yeah, she says both frick on a stick and frick on a stick with a brick.
Yeah, I mean, we started adding words to it eventually, but did she do frick in real life?
No, where did that come from? I think that was just you guys were tiptoeing around fuck, right?
Yeah, also we thought it was her character, but I can't remember if she said the goofy words for that stuff like peepers or bajingo or any of that stuff in real life.
It feels like Sarah would be the type of person that would say bajingo.
Bajingo. Bajingo over there. Bajingo over here.
She says Mike's got a curved peep in her V. That's what Heather confided in Elliot. Molly confided in Elliot that her boyfriend has a curved peep.
Heather totally, I'm going to get off that topic. Heather totally acclimated and was like, cool with the cast from the start, right? You guys all got along with her? Because I remember she was at Donald's place or something like that for a poker game or something one night. Didn't you do like Texas Hold'em one night at your place?
Yeah. dude, Heather was so great. Like, we had a really, like, it's still all love when we see her now, you know. From my experience hanging out with her, it was always all good. Like, if I see her out and about, you know, we can laugh and talk shit a little bit and then keep it moving. But yeah, she was great when we were.
She was really cool, and you know what, Bill? Watching these back, it's really, she's very funny. I mean, you wrote such a fun character for her to play, and I don't remember, you know, just the dynamic between her and Sarah is really funny. Was that why you designed that character as a friend for Sarah?
Yes, a little bit. But you know what's really interesting, man? You know, go back to something else because this is something that I've often thought about. So, you know, I didn't know Heather as a human being that well. You know, I just knew her from movies and stuff like that. And then when she came and she was going to do this, we actually talked to her a bunch and got to know her. And then, you know, kind of wrote a character that, if you guys know Heather in real life, felt like maybe an exaggerated version of her real vibe. You know what I mean? Of super positive.
She said that, Bill, when she was on the podcast. She's like, funnily enough, there's lots of me in this character that, you know, so it's interesting to hear your take on that.
Well, what's interesting is like so many, I'm asking you guys, like so many actors and actresses, when you hear them talking about the craft, love disappearing into someone else. And as a TV writer, you know, where you want instant chemistry, you want to be able to write someone's voice week to week really quickly, especially someone that's just joining the show as a guest character, you want to get them to play an exaggerated version of themselves, you know, and I could never sense if actors and actresses hate that, you know, and feel like that's not what acting is, or if they dig on it because it feels like they get ownership of the character. You know what I mean? Because, like, look, on our show, eventually you two are both doing jokes that you would do in real life.
I feel like you just don't want actors love that doing it occasionally. You just don't want to always be asked to play a version of yourself, you know? But on occasion to – yeah, I mean, obviously JD is just is a very cartoonish example of I am, and I'm sure Turk is with Donald. I mean, it's, I always say to people, it's like turning my personality and then just turning all the knobs up to 11 because it's just an extreme version of who I am. And the fun part about playing that is that your improvs are always going to be in the spirit of the character because they're coming out of who you are. You know what I mean?
I love it. The only thing that's dangerous is what comes after and what people like, you have to create, like, then you have to fight the battle of, okay, I'm not just that character. And that becomes a challenge. And that's part of the journey. You know what I mean? Like, so being Turk for 9 seasons, I know it works when if I need to tell a joke, I could fall into the Turk thing real easy. Mm. And I know there's an audience for that thing, and it'll work.
Yeah.
The challenge now is not doing that.
Yeah.
Because it became a habit. We did it for so long, you know? And it's fun. It also becomes, you know, acting becomes a craft again, and it becomes an art form again. And you also hear no a lot now because of it. But it was what you were hearing before anyway, before you got your gig. So you're kind of used to it already. But it's great when someone gives you a chance to show that you can do something different. And I've been very lucky since Scrubs to play other characters that are, you know, you're always going to find a little bit of somebody in a character. Like Matthew McConaughey, I don't care who you are, you find him in all of the characters he plays. I'm sure there's a piece of him.
That's what I mean. And I find that to be I find that to be a positive, Donald. You know, it's so interesting.
I do too.
Because I see sometimes, like, he's a great example of somebody that didn't run away from it. Sometimes I get bummed out when an actor, actress who I love doing, and in different parts, arguably, you know, doing what works for them, you know, something that's in their kind of wheelhouse, even if it's different and more nuanced, you know, or the character's doing something different. You guys both know that the acting is littered with people that then go, I've done that thing too much, and so I'm never going to do that thing that people love to watch me do ever again. You know, it drives me crazy a little bit.
You can't do that to yourself unless you're a chameleon, unless you're freaking Daniel Day-Lewis and you can freaking, like, that's a 1% thing. You know what I mean? like Tom Cruise does Tom Cruise movies. Will Smith does Will Smith
movies. A lot of the biggest movie stars, even if you go back to like the golden age of like, you know, Bogart and Bacall, they were playing Bogart and Bacall.
you know? It's
what
and, it
by the way, and I mean that as a compliment. I love it. You know what I mean? I used to love John Cusack being John Cusack in all those movies, you know, of the Say Anythings and the Better Off Deads and stuff.
Better Off Dead. They were underrated.
They were all different characters, but that kind of quick talking, self deprecating thing, I lived for it, man. It was so funny.
Now yeah. My $2.
Better Off Dead. Kenny. I can't believe we haven't ever discussed Better Off Dead.
That's one of my favorites.
It's a great movie.
Kenny. Don't have a dime. Didn't ask for a dime.
The tone of that movie was so specific and different. Remember, it really stood out. It was.
He said, "Sorry, yeah. Your mom's face blew up."
I believe Barney Rubble asked him if he could ask his girlfriend out.
Yeah, he right. did. He did
at one point.
Can I ask out Beth?
And so did the teacher. So did their teacher.
So did the teacher. So did the teacher.
All right, we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back with Bill Lawrence. And we're back.
And we're back.
All right. I love how I tape recorded my.
But you didn't. It was accidental. You were in the middle of doing your speech when you slipped on the wet floor.
I know, but I love how I'm playing it back for Cox, and it's on there.
I fell.
Have we ever gone back and Zach and really taken stock of how many non-Zach Braff hoos were in there? Do you know there's occasional times that we put them in post and just never had you correct them? Just going,
it was you? It was you?
It was always me, yeah. Yeah, it was always me.
I love that.
There's at least two.
There was one episode where Bill, I don't know if we've told this anecdote before, but Bill calls me in the editorial and he goes, watch this sequence, see if you notice anything. And I watch it. And I go, no, what? He goes, you didn't notice anything. I go, no. He goes, yeah, I needed a shot of you walking down the hall and we never got it. So I just pulled it from another episode. You're in completely different scrubs, but I don't think anyone's going to notice it.
It was different color.
Holy shit.
light blue versus dark blue. Yeah. By the way, the best thing was the editors on Scrubs, you know, because I made so many bad edits to you because you had this time constraint that you had to hit. And they used to keep a jar of – I had to put money in when I forced them to do really bad edits. And then, you know, we'd go out and drink some beers at the end of the year. And they thought that was the worst one ever. And I said, why don't you guys bring all the editor's assistants in here? And if any of them spots the mistake, I'll put in like $100 into that stupid jar.
Nobody noticed it.
No, they all came in, and they're such nerds. They were like, when JD leaves the room, he's leading with his left foot, and then in the hallway, he lands on his right foot.
Dirk.
And the two editors were getting madder and madder. So like the pen in his hand isn't what, and I'm finally like, no, he's wearing a different shirt, you idiot. It's a completely different color.
I know. And I remember I would get into to ADR. That's when we, you know, I would do the VOs, and we replace any dialogue that needs replacement. And there'd be like a call for, ooh, and I'm like, don't you guys have just a file of, ooh, ooh, like, why am I still recording?
We should have let different cast members come and do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That would be great, too. I would have loved to come in and go,
Donald, much like snowflakes, no two are the same.
Right. It's never the same. Sometimes the pitch is different.
You guys see that they're putting Scrubs up on Disney Plus now, moving forward? Do you guys catch that? And those
I
different.
I saw that. That's very awesome. Exciting.
Does that? Okay. Here's a question that the fans want to know, though. Does that open up it because it's on Disney Plus now? Does that open up a limited series on Disney Plus as well?
There's a couple things out there, man. One is the first thing I'm trying to have it open up is I want to. I want to restore the original music as much as we can to the first four seasons, you know, so I'm trying really hard. And the people at Disney seem to be being, you know, helpful of trying to figure out how to get
that'd
some
be
of
amazing,
songs
Bill,
back
because
that'd be great.
Bill, that'd be so cool. Cause that's like one of the most common things we always hear from fans is I'll be like, you know, over the years when Scrubs has moved around to different services, I'll be like, oh, now it's on this one. Now it's on this one. People are like, with the original music? With the original music?
It is the original music after season four. It's just the licensing deals in the first four didn't, you know, they weren't for streaming in perpetuity and stuff.
I didn't know
that
trivia.
Five, six, seven, eight, nine. Yeah. And the first four, it got muddled. And then I also want to try and figure out how to get it remastered. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't. You know, we were shooting high def, but we weren't.
We were shooting 16 millimeter film, but we didn't scan it to be HD, right. 16:9.
Right.
That would be That'd awesome be if someone too. Did that. That's probably going to cost them some money, but they should spend it.
I'm gonna try and look at it. We only protected for four, like the 4:3 ratio, you know, so there'll be some stuff in the shots that won't make me happy, but we'll have to see.
Well, I'm sure if you go back to the negative is somewhere. I mean, you can go back and, I don't know. That sounds like a giant. People always ask too.
I do know that a lot of there'll be some frames in some of these shots, though. I do know that that'll be because I know John Inwood used to cut it like almost to the line.
Yeah, man, we used to have flags. We were trying to go so fast, I'd have to blow it up in editing just to get the flag out of the shot. You know.
Well, that'd be cool to have it be truly 16:9 and look not 4:3. That would be awesome.
And look, Donald, the thing about I think we'll, you know, it would be fun to revisit Scrub someday on a limited thing with everybody. But I think
we're all getting old,
it,
dude. We're gonna die soon, man.
that's too bleak.
Oh my god.
Whoa. I got 40-50 years left.
That's so part long. Of it,
that's a long time.
When people ask me, there's two things. One is I want to, you know, I don't work at Disney right now. I work at Warner Brothers, Time Warner. So like legally, I wouldn't be allowed to work on it. So that's always been a bummer for me.
That's a wrap.
But the other one is, I will be eventually, you know. And then the other one is, in a good way, we all still talk and hang out. And to me, it's a thing that you do when you don't get to be around each other anymore, because that's really the only reason to do that is to get to kind of spend time with each other, you know, especially if we find ourselves in a life where we've all drifted apart a little, you know?
Well, I think it would be fun, Bill. I know you have the conundrum of being a Warner Brothers writer and this is the Disney show, but if that were figure outable, it would be a lot of fun. We obviously can't do it without you there. It doesn't make sense.
It's a wrap if you're not there.
Well, you know what? We just figured it out with another thing because Chris and Phil really wanted to do Clone High again, and that's happening. And that was really interesting to me that we were able to figure it out. So we'll
I hope that Gandhi's going to be heavily featured.
Gandhi is.
Well, you know that's.
I think Gandhi was part of the reason that show got canceled.
Oh, sorry, I messed up. Who are you, Donald?
I'm Toots, Joan of Arc's grandfather.
Joan of Arc's blind father, and I think you were more importantly an anthropomorphic peanut that George Washington Carver created.
Yeah, George Washington Carver's. Yeah, it was a peanut. That's right. I was a lot of people on that show. I did a lot of voices on Clone High. That was a lot of fun.
I would love to work with those guys.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'd love to work with those guys again. When they were doing Solo, I was like, come on, man. Hook a brother
Their Solo would have been funny. I'm telling you. I
would love to see it.
There's stuff of it that was shot, man. I think I told you guys.
Dude, there's a whole movie. There's a whole movie. I know it for a fact. I know for a fact there's a whole movie. I know for a fact there's a whole movie.
Oh, my God.
We'll never see it. We'll never see it.
Never see that.
We'll never see Gareth Edwards' Rogue One. We'll never see these movies. We'll never see these movies. It's not like the Snyder Cut. You can't do. I mean, unless, and sorry to get all nerdy on you, unless this alternate universe rumor that's circulating throughout Star Wars is true, then maybe we could see all of these things. For the fans listening and for those who don't give a crap, I'm sorry, but here's your Star Wars rant. There's a rumor circulating that there's a multiverse in the Star Wars universe, and that the last three movies that came out were on a different timeline than The Mandalorian. That's the rumor that's circulating. Do I know if it's true or not? I don't know, but that's the rumor that's circulating. Putting it out there.
Okay. Well, that's exciting for.
And it all has to do. I'm sorry. One last thing. And it all has to do with Ahsoka Tano. Ahsoka Tano is supposed. And I'll tell you how it. This is where everybody is certain. Why it's all. Ahsoka Tano talks to Rey at the end of the. Let me finish it. Talks to Rey at the end of Rise of Skywalker. Right, with all of these dead ghosts. Now, if this is possible, if she's doing this. That means Ahsoka herself is dead. In the Rebels show, there was this
bridge that the star of the show goes to, where he literally can affect time and he saves Ahsoka. So they're saying now that there are two timelines, one where Ahsoka dies, The Rise of Skywalker, and then one where she lives, The Mandalorian. Just putting it out there.
Bill, this is what I drew during that.
Oh, it's pretty. Are you?
Is that a tree?
I have a question.
You got a window and a tree.
I have a question, because are you very excited? But now, I don't know anything about the Star Wars world, as you know, Donald. But the I watched Mandalorian because my Henry loves the Star Wars world, and he was showing me that the guy that does Dear White People, Justin, I guess Justin Simien, is that his name? Is in his credits coming up is listed as the creator of Lando. Is that?
Be so awesome. I that would be really cool.
By the way, so it's on IMDb. It says, like, the next show that he's behind, it just says creator, executive producer, Lando.
Oh, that'd be dope, man. Good for him, man.
That's good gossip, right?
That's great gossip, if that's true. Like, anything revolving around Star Wars or Marvel nowadays seems to be just really good, juicy gossip.
Kevin Feige put to sleep the rumors there were going to be a Marvel-Star Wars crossover.
Well, he just did a huge Marvel crossing over of two universes in the fifth episode of WandaVision in a way that is
blown
people's minds.
Wait, no spoilers. No spoilers, because my girlfriend's out of town and I'm not allowed to fucking watch it.
Dude, you are missing out.
I saw a clip.
That also opens up a lot of questions on how this universe is going to be, man. Like, I know that the Doctor Strange thing is the multiverse and the multiverse of madness and everything like that. Are we really diving into this? And if we're really diving into this, how is the connection between these two so powerful then? If it's not her like, it's crazy, dude. They're going nuts with these shows, man.
They really are.
More importantly, if you guys do your research, all right, so of the Scrubs multi-universe. So, all right. So all the Spin City actors were on Scrubs, but they weren't playing themselves. A bunch of Scrubs actors went on Cougar Town. Zach, you went on playing yourself. Sam was there playing himself. Ken Jenkins was not playing himself. He was playing Courtney Cox's dad. And also the janitor was named officially on Clone High, because on Clone High we wanted it to be Easter egg. He played a janitor that was named Glenn, and that was his real name at the end, Glenn Matthews. But you guys were also on Clone High as voices and not as yourselves. So we've never really figured out what the Scrubs universe means, other than everybody's been in everything. That's all we got so far. But the weirdest one still being the end credits of Cougar Town, which you guys should at some point screen that one tag. Because, Zach, if you remember, it's when you walk – you made the mistake of coming by the Cougar Town set when Sarah Chalk was there doing a guest spot. Ken Jenkins was there playing Courtney's dad. And Sam Lloyd was there playing Ted. And Bob Clendenin was a regular on the show as the neighbor, even though he's Dr. Zeltzer on Scrubs. And you walked in delivering a pizza and made Sam's head explode. It was one of the greatest tags of all time, man. You guys got to check that out.
All I remember is that you were like, hey, come on by. I want to catch up with you. Come on by the lot. And it'd be great to, you know, just have a coffee and shoot the shit. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I think I'm going by just to see Bill and catch up. And we get there. He's like, hey, since you're here, would you like to walk onto the set and do a bit with Sam? I'm like, okay. I didn't even do like hair and makeup or anything. I just walked on and someone handed me a pizza and I came in and I was the pizza guy. Remember?
Sam Lloyd was having a nightmare. And by the way, this is the funniest part of it. Sam Lloyd was having a nightmare because he goes, you all look like people from my old job. And he pointed at Bob Clendenin and then Bob Kelso and then Sarah Chalk and then Krista. And then you come in delivering a pizza and he runs to the window and hits his head. And then he looks out and watering the garden out back is Rob Mascio. And I remember, Zach, because when you said that you were coming over for coffee, I knew I was going to do this to you. So I called up Rob Mascio. I'm like, hey, can you get to the Culver City Studios in like 10 minutes? He's like, I'm already there, dude.
he was outside in a banana hammock. Speaking of Rob Mascio, how about when Heather Graham, dressed as Wonder Woman, She lassos him in her lasso of truth, and he says, I once had a threesome, and not the cool kind.
So wait, what's the bad kind? What's the uncool kind?
I think he's saying that in his version, the non-cool kind was with two dudes.
But it could be two dudes and one girl. It could be, but also don't forget Donald. He likes anything, but he's still prisoner of what those kind of frat boy jock surgeons were like. So his
right,
even though he still hasn't accepted his true toddness yet at this point.
Right.
We just watched an episode where his heart got pulled out, and just he's dying, said, "I'm gay."
Right. I had one thing to say. I think Scrubs already has a multiverse going, and I think it happened with that butterfly effect one. I'm just putting it out there. There's different ways it can go. I'm just saying.
We did it. The closest we ever got to being weird with it, because someone got mad at me about it on social media a few months back, was when we wanted to imply that we couldn't figure out how to bring Elizabeth Banks onto the show, and we wanted to imply that she was a doctor, in which case JD would know her, and she's been there all along. So then we just did this thing that JD could not see women that have wedding rings on, because he's that shallow a man that if they're wearing a wedding ring, they don't exist to him. And if you remember, we went back and put her in the person got mad because we comped her into Ben's funeral, into that show. Like she was sitting two rows behind JD.
I did not know that.
And we put her two rows behind JD in Ben's funeral, and then we put her in the elevator when he's doing kung fu fighting, and she was just all over in the show. You guys will eventually get to that when she... So that was the closest thing we ever did, was an alternate reality that there were other characters in the show that just JD couldn't see.
This one, because she has a wedding ring on. I love it.
That's funny.
That is hilarious.
It's why we established that gift shop girl disappeared when you guys get there, because she's actually still in the lobby down there where you guys are. And I think Donald says, take your ring off. And she takes her ring off and just appears. She's been there the whole time.
That is great.
So Sarah's boyfriend at the time, you had Jamie come in and play the patient, because she had to make out with the guy, and instead of it being a random guy, is that what happened?
Yep. And just because I knew him and liked him, and it was a fun, weird excuse for someone that would eventually be an entertainment attorney to come in and be on camera kissing his girl.
Yeah, that was funny. It was convenient. Like, all right, Sarah, you don't have to go make out with some random guy. You can we'll just have your boyfriend be the random guy. But I remember that happened the opposite with the parachute scene. Remember, she had to. There was some guy when
it was a stuntman that had to parachute in and make out with her, and the only stuntman they could get, I think, is generously probably in his early 70s. And so, yeah, she had to.
Wait, I forgot if that was before this or after, but I remember this might have. Have we passed that moment yet, Donald? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So, yeah. It was some big stunt with the parachuting. And I remember Sarah being like, he's like 100 years old.
Oh, my God.
Oh, funny. How about Dr. Vaji going, it was horrible.
It was horrible.
What? I forgot what he was saying. It was horrible, dude. That guy's funny.
Because Molly's boyfriend gets handsy when he's when he's all.
It was horrible.
That guy was funny. He was in a couple episodes. He always makes me laugh.
Yeah,
I love it when
say,
you spot
he just disappeared
people
after
in a
that.
Couple.
He was in a couple of them. Yeah.
Dr. Vaji. Really yeah.
Very funny. And a working actor also works a lot still to this day.
I love that the thing about me hating Lonnie, Bill. You've given JD a real foil, and you've given him a Newman Lonnie.
Yeah. You. By the way, we always enjoyed, and it's a testament to you, Zach, you hating people for no reason always worked. And
well,
you
Lonnie
hated
is
Keith.
Lonnie kind of has it coming.
Lonnie's
though.
A bit of a dick. I mean, he's not he's by no means intimidated by me, and he has no respect for me at all.
No, Lonnie deserves it. I don't think Keith ever deserved it. You hated Keith.
Yeah, Keith.
Yeah. Was Keith the one with perfect areolas? Or was that
Keith's the one. Keith's the one. Yeah, Keith's the one. He dated Sarah, so you hated him. And you gave every intern nicknames and except him. And he said, why won't you give me a nickname? And you said, some people's names just don't lend themselves to nicknames. And he said, my last name is Dude Meister. You're like, what am I supposed to do with that? What could anyone do with that?
Was it Keith or Scott Foley that I was like, you think you're better than me with your rock hard abs and your dynamite areolas?
That's Keith. That's Keith. You hated Scott Foley.
He's coming.
Sean,
that's next
Keith,
season, right?
You hated Lonnie. Yeah.
He's next season, and he was around for two, three years.
He was around a lot, man. Yeah. Scott, by the way, he's another dude that just fit in with you all so well. It reminds me of Heather that way, that it was just easy to bring him back because it was fun. You know, same thing with Rich Kind, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Richard Kind's coming on, Joel, right? Richard, we scored Kind.
Oh, I'll do an interrupting Bill and ask you some good Richard Kind questions in that. That'll be fun.
Oh, thank you.
Can't wait.
Please do.
There's a great article in the New Yorker people should go back and look at. It's probably from about 2 weeks ago that said it has a list of movies that they feel would have been better if Richard Kind was in them. And it's an article about what a great character actor he is. And I agreed with all of them.
I love articles like that, but I also hate articles like that when they're like about you. Like Richard Kind's like, thanks for nothing.
I know. If only. What do I get from that now? Right. I know.
Let's go to break.
We'll be right back.
Let's go to break. But, hey, when we're back, guys, I'm going to be gone. I want to say, because I got to go to a big meeting stuff. So thank you for watching / listening to my podcast. Donald, thank you for that amazing rap. And, Zach, thanks for being here as a guest this week. Donald, I really appreciate it.
We appreciate you, Zach.
And we're back.
And we're back. We're fucking back. The guest is here.
Go ahead.
Open up that Lacey Fall. How do you say your last name?
Fallis.
Fallis.
No, Zach.
Fallis?
Yeah, Fallis. Not like.
Oh, Lacey, not like Fallis. I didn't even get the Fallis thing, Lacey. You led me there.
Yeah, I get it kind of often, but I married into it, so it's not my fault.
Well, and also the good thing about being a child with the last name Fallis is that kids wouldn't know what a phallus is. So you're going to avoid all the underage teasing.
True. They're good for now.
Welcome to the program, Lacey. Where are you calling from?
I live in Saskatchewan, Canada.
Oh, Saskatchewan, nice. Canada in the motherfucking house.
And are you a piano player?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. It looks like I'm pulling attention to that. It's just where the computer is, and we just moved here, so I didn't want to mess with anything.
It's fine.
Sure. But you're going to play us something, though, right?
Yeah, you're going to play a song for
me? You know, I feel pretty inadequate in present company. I mean, I look up to Nick so much, and I... Joshua's song "Only You" is in our wedding. Like,
oh wow,
Listen, if you don't want to play anything,
Lacey wants to play. Donald, she's here to ask questions and get her life fixed. She's not here to entertain you. Lacey,
well, let me entertain you,
Gypsy.
Let me make you smile. How'd you know that? Dude, that was quick. Well, good for you, though.
Bro, I am. You know what Trevor Wiki does for Scrubs? I can do that for musicals.
I didn't even get it out.
Gypsy.
Gone.
Okay. I was on the stage crew for Gypsy, and I remember feeling so cool that I was in charge of opening the curtain at the right time.
Ooh.
Nice.
Did you ever mess up?
No, I was just... First of all, the funny thing is, in the opening of Gypsy, there's a scene where all the kids are at a talent show. Mm-hmm. And I was a little kid, but I was like stage crew mascot. And so they said, yeah, but you can be on the stage crew, dude, but you got to be in the little kid thing. We need more little kids. I was like, okay. So I would get there before the show and they'd put full clown makeup on me. And I would be in the opening sketch. I had nothing to do but just stand there as a kid. And then they'd be like, that scene was over. And I just think I'm the coolest stage crew guy, but I'm doing the whole show in full clown makeup. And they're like, go curtain. And I'm like, go curtain. And I'm pulling it. And I just think I'm so cool. And I'm not looking at the fact that everyone else looking at me is like, sees a little kid in full clown makeup.
It's like that. It's like that meme. It's like that meme of the Joker. And they use the Joker, like, they use the, like, how you feel. Like, it's the Joker in that tracksuit. It's like how you feel when she leaves you on red for an hour. And it's the picture of the Joker looking at himself in the mirror with the cigarette in his mouth. That's kind of you, man. You were like, they looked at you like a clown. You were a clown, dude.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone else who's been on a stage crew. First of all, when you're on stage crew, the whole point is you wear blacks and you sort of disappear into the shadows. I was in full clown makeup.
Not you.
All right, enough about me and my love of musicals. Lacey, do you have a question for us?
I have so many questions. Joelle sent me back some that would be okay.
Okay,
good. We workshopped the questions a little.
Good work, Joelle.
I wrote in, and I feel bad because I wrote in to kind of prove Donald wrong about the will they, won't they, split them up, get them back together thing. And yeah, I know. And I heard your podcast today, and you pretty much ripped that guy apart because his story wasn't good enough.
Go ahead, Lacey.
I don't think ours is very unique, but we were met in high school. I think we were 15. And when it was time to go to university, and yeah, they were only a couple hours apart, and we probably could have done it, but we just kind of wanted to go meet other people and go, like, just go fuck somebody else for a change. We'd never done that.
Right.
So
that's right.
Let's go do that and experience things and do a cake stand on a Tuesday and not be judged about it, you know? And then when we were done university, I came back to my hometown and he did as well. And I asked him to move in with me as roommates. And I was working nights at the hospital. And he said, no, he wouldn't do it. And then finally he did, because like you said, Donald, we win. he moved in. And one morning, all he did was kiss me. I said, are we doing this? And he said, yep. And we tried to keep it under wraps from there, but we actually had a miscarriage. So that spilled the beans. And since then, we got married. We have two kids. There's Aww. Been hurdles for sure. But I can't imagine going through our sons were both premature. They both had pediatric cancer. They're both in remission now and doing well. But I can't imagine going through a time of my life like that without someone who's known me over half my life.
Right.
If that makes sense.
I hear that.
Wow. It's incredible what the journey you've had. And it sounds like through all those incredibly hard times that you were super clear that you'd found the right partner.
Yeah, he is a man of few words. So I knew when he did that and he said, yep, that he meant it. So it was kind of like, stop screwing around. Let's do this. We don't have to, I don't know.
Well, you guys moved in. You moved back to the same town and then we're like, you know what, let's just move in together.
Yeah. Yeah,
Lacey, did you feel that you'd done enough sowing of your oats by the time you moved back home?
Yes, and then Donald was wondering if like those little things that drive you crazy still drive you crazy. Yep, they do. but you see that the kind of man he has become far outweighs that, and also like the oats that I sowed showed me that the oat I had was my husband is 6'6". And the adage is true. He wears big shoes. So I was good.
Oh, I understand the subtext there, Donald. I'm not going to spell it out for the audience. But now, what about him? Did he feel like he had sowed his oats and he was good? Like, okay, I got crazy. I had sex with lots of people and now I'm ready to settle down?
Yeah, he did that. And then he got cheated on and had his heart just murdered. So he got that side of it.
That sucks.
Well, that sounds like it all worked out. They're happy now. And you just moved into a new house?
Yeah, we just bought a farm. We're insane. We decided in the pandemic.
Beat that with a baseball bat.
It's like we bought a zoo. Farm? We bought a farm.
Yeah.
Do you let me ask you a question. Did you buy a farm with animals or did you buy a farm? You bought a farm with animals. So you got chickens, cows, ducks, geese.
We have two Highland cows that need names.
I think the answer is obvious on that. I
mean, Donald and Zach.
Donald and Zach, go ahead. I would love to have a farm, Donald.
Well, you know what, Zach?
What?
You're one job away from making that dream come true.
Well, I don't know how it would fit into my life. I can't really have it where I live. But the idea of like retreating to a farm in upstate New York, that would be so beautiful.
Like I said, you are one job away from making that happen, buddy. So you just keep running that race.
I'm going to put it on my whiteboard. Farm.
Let's go. Farm.
I also need a farmer because I don't intend to be getting the cow poop out of the hay.
Well, it depends on what type of farm you have. I thought you were going to have a farm like a marijuana farm.
No, I want what's called a gentleman's farm, and that's where you get to live on the beautiful farm, but there's a professional farmer leading the crew to make it look nice. Lacey, it's time for Saskatchewan's favorite segment. It's time to
fix your life!
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Okay. We're ready for you, Lacey. How can we help? Fangirling. We're here to help. Free therapy. Okay. Go.
Valentine's Day is coming up, and we don't care about that. That's not a question I have. Our 10th anniversary is coming up this year, and we had always said that we were going to go to Greece. That was our thing. We saved our money to go to Greece, and then we used it for our children's treatments. So now, and we can't fly anyway. So do you have any ideas how we can make this year somewhat special?
Well, you just moved into this farm, so I think it should be about, I know it's freezing outside, so you can't really do anything too long outside, but to me, my first instinct is it should be something to celebrate, holy shit, we have a farm. What about if you got him an animal that you don't yet have on the farm? They have these really adorable pygmy goats, and they stay small, and they're so cute. And if I had a farm, it would be my first thing to get. If there's a way to safely provide a habitat for a pygmy goat, I think that – I don't know your husband and all, but I think if he if that pygmy goat showed up in maybe a sweater that had hearts all over it
– oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You can go online, I'm sure, and buy like a dog sweater.
I just – okay, I'm going to say this. I don't think a goat is the right thing to buy in a freezing cold farm for.
Okay. For do you have Lacey. Any ideas for what Lacey could do special for her husband on their new farm for Valentine's Day?
Well, yeah.
He's going to listen to this too, so give him some pointers too.
Okay, that's good.
You said you play the piano and you have a piano in the background, right? Why not write a song for him?
Oh, that's a great idea. Do you ever write, Lacey?
I do. I write and I score.
Oh, my God. Well, Donald's answer is better than mine. I mean, you can do both. You can play a song that the baby pygmy goat can enter to.
Oh, that would be adorable.
Okay, so here we go. I want you to write a song about how much you love your husband and how much you appreciate him. And then if some of the lyrics could be related to the entrance of a pygmy goat, and then your kids will bring in the pygmy goat on a little leash. Bam, Valentine's Day.
Deal. Sounds good.
And we're going to need video of that, please, to be sent to us. Now, Donald, what should we tell her husband to get for her since he's going to be listening?
Act excited when you see the pygmy goat.
Yes. He's going to be excited.
Story of my life, Donald.
Lacey, you're welcome. You're welcome.
You're so welcome.
Lacey, I look forward to hearing the song. I'm not kidding. I hope when you write it, you're going to send it to Joelle so we can play it on the show.
Well, I low-key want to be Joelle's best friend, if you could put that.
Yeah, everybody does.
Keep emailing me. You're going to make this work.
Everybody does. Everyone who listens to the podcast wants to be Joelle's BFF.
Aw.
I would love to hear this song that you write. If you said you score music and stuff like that, I would love to hear some of your music at some point. So when you do it for Valentine's Day or if you do it for some other time, please do send it into the show and we would love to hear your music, Lacey.
We'd love to hear it. And also that we will play it on the show if you actually write a song.
And if you allow it, Maybe DJ Dano could sample some of it, and we'll put it in the recap or something like that.
Yeah, remix.
Oh my God!
You know, yes. Lacey, you officially have a homework assignment, but it's a good homework assignment because we're going to play your song, or at least part of it. I don't know if it's going to be like a long ass song. We're going to play a part of it on the show.
I mean, yeah, don't send in like the 5 minute version. Send in like the 2.5 minute version.
The radio edit.
Lacey, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate you, and good luck with your farm. That's so exciting.
Thank you so much.
You bought a farm, Lacey. You bought a farm.
You bought a farm. I think that's really cool and an exciting adventure for you, and we wish you the best.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye.
Bye, guys.
Whoa.
Also,
I also
see her
say hi.
Charlotte Lawrence.
We have a surprise visitor, everybody. Charlotte Lawrence.
What up,
how are you?
I'm good.
And you're done. So wait, you got your own place now?
I got my own place. I'm a full adult now.
Wow, Charlotte, we played your song because I've been listening to it in my house nonstop. Flo has it on basically nonstop repeat.
It's so cute. I know, she texts me videos of her dancing to it. It makes me so happy. I love that you guys love it. You guys are like my number one promoters.
Charlotte was like, Charlotte was like, hey, I might make a video where I have my friends dancing to the song. Will you send a video? I'm like, hell no. But I know someone who will.
I was like, I'm doing a fan visual. I'm gonna have a bunch of my friends just dance to it, really cute. If you're down to join, Zach was like, no. Immediately no. Didn't
have
even
ever seen him
no.
dance.
We'll follow
have you ever seen him dance?
Donald,
I
gotta
learn
do
to dance a little bit, Donald, for my new film, and I was thinking maybe you could teach me a few moves.
You just need a two-step, bro.
You already got the big
Donald,
bang dance down.
I've been really into your rapping.
Me rapping?
Yeah, she listens.
I've been
to
really
the show.
Into your rapping.
I'm a garbage rapper. It's for show. I'm trash rapper. This for
I
the
think
show.
You're good. I think.
Do you want a freestyle
a
rap about Charlotte, Donald?
Come on, B.
I just thought you could do it on cue.
Putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right, here
Charlotte
we go.
Charlotte Lawrence. I knew you since you was a baby girl. Now you all grown. Yeah. Yeah. Now you all grown.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Charlotte Lawrence. Uh-huh. Charlotte Lawrence. I knew you since you was a baby girl. Now you're all grown. Now you're all grown.
Fantastic.
That's good. I like there the way you rhymed grown with grown.
Great, great lyric choice. I think you should feature on a song of mine, Donald.
I could feature
that
with
be
that
the background
nowadays.
Vocals.
Wow. I could feature.
Now, Charlotte, you have a friend on that's on The Bachelorette.
Yes.
The Bachelor.
The Bachelor.
Who is your friend on The Bachelor?
I saw her name is Kit, right?
Kit Keenan, one of my best friends since I've been little.
Which one is that? Yeah. The one whose mom is
she's the yes. Yeah, she's the beautiful blonde one. Yeah, yeah.
Do you watch the show, Donald?
Of course, I watch it with Kit.
No, I'm asking if Donald's watching.
If Donald does?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now listen, I used to watch these shows because I always thought it was funny, but I'm over it. And I saw Kit because I've met her through Charlotte, and she's very close with Charlotte. And I saw a preview, and I was like, fucking Kit is on The Bachelor. So I texted Charlotte last night. I'm like, all right, I'm going to try because Kit's on.
And I was like how are you liking it?
5 minutes later, she's like, how is it? I'm like, I can't watch the show. I just can't. I can't watch
you're
it.
You're missing out, dude. You are missing
I know. It's
out
it's a phenomenon. It really is. It's like once you get in it, you can't get out of it. You
so
know?
You're
it
watching it with your
it.
Friend who's on it. Is she giving you spoilers
so
or is she keeping it on the DL?
No. So what happens is I'll be sitting next to her watching it, and then she'll be like, oh, that girl, that is so fake. She did not actually say that in person. Or like, oh, no, that girl's actually really nice. Like, I get all the inside scoop. Like, I know, you know what I mean? I know the tea. So it's really, it makes it a whole experience because we're watching, you know, her on TV, and then she's also telling us what's going on behind the scenes. It's hilarious. It's just such a weird, I also never watched The Bachelor. I was never into it like that, and I'm obsessive with it. I'm obsessed with it. I watch it with Kit next to me every single Monday night, and I'm like, can't get enough of it.
I love it so much. I love it so much, man. It's just, and it's you're right. It's an accident. You accidentally watch, and then you're stuck, and you can't get out. You can't
get out of it. No. It's an addiction. You're like, You feel like you're a part of it and know the girls. Like, I talk to the screen. I'm like, Piper, go you! Like, hell yeah, Piper, good job! Like, I'm, like, yelling at the screen. It's like sports for me.
I wanted to watch it because I've never known anyone that was on the show, so I wanted to watch, and I was like, oh,
that's what makes it more fun. Yeah. Because she's also, I don't know, it's just, it's like, what you see on the screen, like, isn't what actually is happening in real life. You know, of course, they, like, pick characters for each person, and they make some people look bad, make some people look great. Like, you know, it's not, everything is not what it seems.
Yeah, my ex-girlfriend, Shiri Appleby, was on a show that was about behind the scenes of a reality show. I forgot. I think it was called Unscripted.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw that it was supposed to be like what actually happens in The Bachelor.
Yeah,
and then
it
somebody gets
you,
murdered.
I mean, they took it to extreme with somebody's murdered, but they showed you how, like, they shape the stories, you know? They're like, okay, I mean, now go in and say this, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what I know, it's a lot of, like, what you think is surprises on the show, or that someone doesn't know something, or this is crazy that just happened. It's like everything is planned. The producers, like, try to stir shit, you know what I mean, and cause fights and cause craziness. So it's like,
on the one little segment I saw yesterday, this girl from another season shows up, and she's trying to get on the show. And they call Chris Harrison, and he's supposed to act like he's surprised. He's like, what? Yeah. This is so unprecedented. I can't believe you're here, Jennifer.
I saw that too.
And it was like, oh, come on, buddy. Oh, come on.
You didn't tell me anything about that, but I was like, come on, Chris Harrison. You called her at 3 a.m. Like, yo, we need to stir up some drama. It's been a little bit too nice for a few episodes.
Here's the crazy thing. My wife starred on a reality show for like a season, right? Very famous reality show back in the day. She's stuck on these things, and she knows how it works.
Yeah.
That's what's amazing to me. She knows all the behind the scenes. She knows exactly what they're doing, how they pit people against each other, and yet she's still yelling at the screen, that fucking bitch, I knew it! You know what I mean?
Well, like, I think another part of it, too, is that if you really think about it, they're filming 24/7 for months, every single day, every single night, all the time. And they only use little parts of it. So the little parts that they're going to use of you speaking or of what's happening is like only the meanest, craziest, out of the blue shit that you're going to say and do.
I've worked with somebody. So when I interned at Stupid Buddy Studios in the animation department, in the puppet department. And one of the people, because that she was an intern too, and it didn't pay the bills, she was one of the people that would go through all of the videos for Big Brother.
Yeah.
So you know how Big Brother is, right? So you know how Big Brother is like only an hour long or 2 hours long.
Yeah.
She'd have to go through all of the weeks.
Yeah, because they filmed 24/7. Yeah.
24/7. And she was like, and so she would have to do that for that and for Big Brother After Dark also. And she was like, yo, because there's so many things, so much goes on that you will never see. Like, listen, it's gross.
Oh, exactly.
It's disgusting.
I just had a realization.
I know.
I just had a realization.
Tell us.
It's pro wrestling.
Share the realization.
It's pro wrestling for women.
No, I think pro wrestling's for women also.
Well, okay. I think it's pro wrestling aimed at a female demo.
I don't
because
think,
it's like not really real, but people buy into the characters, and it's improvisational.
There is an aspect of it that's real. Last thing I'll say is the crazy part about The Bachelor, though, that you have to think about is it is so real in the sense that these girls are literally trapped in a house with one guy, and that's the guy that they're supposed to love, with no technology, no access to the outside world, no cell phone. So it's like their only mission is to get this guy and alcohol. So it's like I feel like it's a part of like the only thing you got, you're going to fall in love with him, and a huge competition. Like, I know that if I was on The Bachelor, I'm so competitive. I would 100% win solely based on my manipulative skills to like beat out the other girls. Not because I like the dude, but literally just because I would be like, I need to beat these women.
Hold on.
So ashamed of myself.
I totally get that. So you're saying that a lot of these young ladies that are on the show aren't necessarily on there to marry this guy, but are totally on there just to win. And
I feel like
guys,
nowadays.
I gotta go.
Dad is kicking me off. We'll continue this conversation later. I love you guys, and thank you for promoting my song so much and like being so supportive. I love you guys,
and we love you. Friends Daniel and Joelle.
You thank you, Daniel and Joelle. Thank you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
No problem. Be silent. Be well.
Aww.
Oh, that was cute. She's so sweet. All right.
I am totally obsessed with that show, though. I'm just gonna.
I didn't know that you watched. I knew Casey did. I didn't know that you still watched it.
I don't watch it all the time, but I watch it enough to where I'm like, to where I can laugh at. Like, he had a catchphrase last night was like, I want you out the house, and that shit made me laugh so hard. Like, it was like when Ray J had his show, and when instead of giving the rose to the girl, he would be like, "Are you ready for the love of Ray J?" That shit used to make me laugh so hard. It's just such cringeworthy stuff when you watch The Bachelor, Paradise.
Well, now you got to root for Kit because...
I don't think she's going to win.
I know some fucking insider information, actually.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to spoil The Bachelor, but I know a little inside scoop that's been revealed to me.
From who?
Charlotte. You think offline I wasn't like, tell me what the fuck happens.
Right.
All right, that's the show. We love you all. What should we tell them, guys?
We should tell them the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
I think they can.
They can. I recommend a show on Apple I'm watching called Losing Alice.
Ooh.
Really, really good, interesting, sexy drama.
Sexy drama.
Do you have any referrals, recommendations this week for the audience? Joel, Daniel?
Well,
I suggest you watch WandaVision.
I can't.
I know.
Don't get me in trouble.
I'm just joking.
Joel?
If you're into the Apple TV, try Dickinson, which I'm super enjoying. It's about the life of Emily Dickinson. It's wacky and plays modern music, and sometimes rappers show up. It's so off the wall and weird.
That is very random.
Hailee Steinfeld is in it, and she kills. She's executive producing and starring, nice. And it's a lot of fun to watch.
That girl's very talented.
All right. We love you guys, and thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you, and we'll see you next time. Donald.
You want to count us in?
No, you, baby.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Here's some stories about a show we made. About a bunch of doctors and nurses in